like to turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 10, we'll be there for this message. And we're going to start with verse 1 here. Today is the ministry fair, like Pastor Mark said, and so we have different displays out there in the cafe area. We'd love for you to take a chance, some time to look at those displays if you're not already involved in the ministry. And I want to thank Tiffany Young for helping me out. She's been kind of passionate about the ministry fair. I think this has been our fourth year. And so we really appreciate everybody participating in it. It's an opportunity for you to check out ministries of the church. So if you'd like to be a part of something, feel free. And so what I'm going to do is preach a shorter message, so you have time to go out there and partake and look around. And so don't go get your kids right away. Resist that temptation right now. Have time to explore. We got some cookies out there. One cookie per person, maybe, just to share. Get a bottle of water. Get some flavoring if you want. And then go peruse, look around. Oh, that's a nice ministry. Oh, maybe that's something I really want to do. How about that? Well, at least be praying about it. Let's look at Luke chapter 10, verse 1, and it says this. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. And the first thing I want to talk about is this, that as it says here, the main thing or the point I want to get across to you today with this passage in verse 1 is we need to work together and prepare hearts. Work together and prepare hearts. See, when we're called to do ministry, it's not just for you to just do it by yourself and do it on your own. We're called to work together. And our main goal is to prepare hearts. When you're doing a ministry, it's to prepare hearts for Jesus. It's to get people's hearts ready to accept what Jesus has for them. And so as he says, I'm about ready to come to that town. I'm about ready to come to that place. I'm sending you out. And I want you to go out and prepare people's hearts to receive me. And so he's telling them to go and do these things and share the good news about his coming and that the kingdom is near. And if we look back at Luke chapter 9, and if you want to do that later in your study or during a time today or this afternoon, feel free, because it talks about the 12 that he sends out, the 12 disciples. Now he's sending out others, these 72 or 70 maybe, depending on your translation. But he sends out these 72 out next. And so he's sending out these other people out that are maybe less what we would consider qualified, but they've been followers of Jesus, and they're excited, and he's sending them out to go and do ministry, to prepare people's hearts as he comes along and shares the good news. So that's what we need to be about. One, work together, work with other people. Don't do it by yourself. Maybe God's going to call you to do a certain ministry, but don't do that by yourself. Involve others around you like they had somebody with them. And then also make sure that you prepare people's hearts to receive Christ. And so Luke chapter 10, verse 2 through 3, it says this. It says, he told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. The thing I wanted to get across to you today is this, is that there is no unemployment line for ministry. There's no place to go to and say, well, I need a job for ministry. There's plenty of things to do for Jesus Christ. God has something for each and every one of us to do. Now, if you're looking for a title or a position, that's different, because I don't think we should be looking for positions or titles, but we have the ability to do ministry. We have the ability to work together to prepare people's hearts, if I can say it right, to prepare people's hearts for Christ. So in that, there is no unemployment line. There's no, well, I don't have a job to do. God has something out there for you to do. Maybe you haven't discovered it yet, but God has an opening for you and every single person that have been called to follow Christ. And that's something very important for us to keep in mind. Luke chapter, well, before I move on, I get ahead of myself sometimes. You'll notice that happens with me sometimes. And the question I want to ask today is this. Well, let me just back up a little bit. Franklin Graham, you know, Billy Graham, me and my mom watched Billy Graham's funeral service Friday on my phone when we were in Morgantown, and we were watching it. Pretty powerful stuff there. A person maybe you haven't heard of is known by the name of Vernon Patterson. He is a paper salesman. He lived in 1934. He was on the family farm, and he was with a group of prayer group that got together, and their prayer was to come together to help change Charlotte, to see a change happen in Charlotte. But this is Vernon Patterson called the group to pray for another prayer, have another prayer. Let's pray that God would send out somebody out of Charlotte that would go preach the good news throughout the world to the ends of the earth. And lo and behold, Billy Graham, 15 years old, hadn't accepted Christ yet, working on the farm, that God would choose Billy Graham to go out and preach the gospel. I don't know about you, but when I get to heaven, it would be neat to meet Billy Graham, but I want to meet Vernon Patterson, because he had this prayer on his heart, and he prayed and asked God, God, send us somebody out of Charlotte that will preach the good news to the ends of the world, that will tell people about Jesus Christ. And lo and behold, God sends Billy Graham to do this evangelistic ministry to reach people throughout the whole world for Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? We need to begin to pray here at Porterfield in our little Hocking area that God would send out missionaries and people out of this area to go and change the world for Jesus Christ, to spread the gospel, the good news of Jesus, to prepare people's hearts for Christ out of our area. I don't know, that stirs me. Because if I could be known for anything, I would love to be known as the person that prayed or helped encourage somebody along the way to go on ahead and speak the good news and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth, to tell people about Jesus. The other thing, too, as we look at that verse 3, Jesus isn't mincing words here. He's saying, I'm going to send you out as lambs among wolves. It's not going to be easy. It's not an easy task to be called to do things for Christ, but it's worth it. Next verse, as we look at it, it kind of goes into what we're talking about, the lambs among wolves, about trusting him. Luke chapter 10, verse 4, it says, do not take a purse or a bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. And the point I want to get across this morning is this with that. Trust God to provide and take his work seriously. Now, the first thing as you read that, now, guys, it's not talking about an actual purse that you need to carry alongside you. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about money that you would need on your trip. I mean, most of us would think, oh, yeah, I need some money to take with me on this trip. And Jesus is saying, no, don't take a purse. Don't take sandals or anything. If you don't have sandals, don't worry about it. God's going to provide. The question I want to ask you today is this. When was the last time you were put into a position that required you to sacrificially trust Christ? In other words, when was the last time you put your faith to the test and you trusted God with your pride or your integrity or your reputation? When was the last time you put yourself out there and just, you know, putting your faith out there that might cost you something, that you might have to give something up, that you might have to sacrifice something to give to the Lord? I think a lot of times when we go into ministry, there are going to be costs. There are going to be concerns that we have to be aware of. He didn't send them to not think about what they needed to do. He wanted them to make sure that they understood the cost that was involved, that they were not going to be out there amongst people that were going to be easy to deal with. He was going to send them out there to preach the good news, to tell them that God is near. Next, look at scripture here. Luke chapter 10, verse 17, it says this. Well, before that, Trust God to provide and take his work seriously. Before I end with that last point, I want us to think about, what did it really mean? Jesus is saying, don't meet and greet anybody at the road. Doesn't it seem kind of rude? Don't greet those people. Don't say hi to them. You just stay on the path. Well, during that time, it was customary to kind of, you know, if you saw somebody walking down the road and, hey, what's up? You know, what's going on over Bethlehem? How's the weather? How's life? What's the news going on around? What's the gossip? You know, they didn't have like the newspaper. They didn't have, you know, Fox News or anything like that. They just had to rely on people sharing things with them. So they would talk about what was going on in their towns. And it was customary just to greet them and talk to them. And so why does Jesus, it's such a big deal for Jesus to say, don't greet anybody on the road. Just stick to what you're doing. You need to go to that town. You need to stay at a place, stay at one house, and just tell people about me coming near so that you get their hearts ready for me to come. Why is that so important to him? And the biggest thing is that we need to be about what God has called us to do. When God calls us and tells us to do something, we need to be serious about it and take it seriously and go and do that and trust God that God's got it all under control. Many times in Scripture, Paul wanted to preach the good news to the Asia, and every time the Holy Spirit said, no, you're not allowed to go. And Paul didn't quite understand, but he trusted God with that. And the thing of it is, for us, God has a plan. God has a purpose. Now, I want you guys to go out there and check out the different ministries that we have available. And we would love for you to look at those. And it's all right to try them out and figure which one is best for you. But make sure you involve God in the process. Because if you're doing something that God doesn't want you to be a part of, you're going to be miserable. You're not really going to be happy with that. You know, I've tried to serve God the way I wanted to. And I had to realize I can't serve God the way I want to. I have to serve God the way he wants me to. It's his will, not my will. And so I don't know why he made sure that they want or got them to focus so much on that. Maybe he didn't want them to get distracted. Maybe he didn't want them to gossip. Maybe he didn't want them to get confused about what their mission was. But he wanted them to go to that town, go to that place, be serious about it, get right away there, and get what needed to be done by spreading this word, sharing it. And if people didn't like it, dust off your sandals, get out of that town, and go to the next place. And hopefully those people will have a heart to accept you and bless you. Going on to the verse 17 and looking down further. Luke chapter 17 says that the 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. In verse 18 he says, he replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions, to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the Spirit submits to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Well, isn't it amazing that Jesus is saying, yeah, that's great. You know, you can get a little excited and be excited about what's happening here, that the Spirit is listening to you and that you're able to cast out demons by my name. But let's keep the bigger picture, what's most important, in front of us, in that your name is written in the book of heaven and that you're going to heaven. That's the bigger thing. And so in us, in the ministry, we need to keep it in mind that ministry can be give us joy, but to remember that the greater joy is heaven. The greater joy is receiving heaven. In other words, I'm not just doing the things I do to have a good life here. I'm doing the things because I understand that I have an eternity to live in heaven. That what does Billy Graham say? He said, don't mourn for me. I'm more alive. If somebody says I'm dead, I'm more alive today than I ever have been. Because I am with Jesus. He's more alive today than he ever was because he's with Jesus Christ. And he's got eternity to be with the Lord. This life is just a vapor. It'll just be here for a moment and gone the next. Now, I can tell you for a fact that I've seen great joy. And when the ministries I've been a part of in my life, I've had great joy in seeing people come to Christ. Seeing people not knowing Jesus and coming to know Jesus. I've had the privilege of baptizing several different people. One person that I baptized that I was doing work at a Gusky shelter. And I was working with teenagers, and I was able to baptize this girl that was pregnant, and she gave her life to Jesus Christ. What joy that is. If you've ever had the opportunity to help lead somebody to Christ, sorry, sinuses. Such a great thing, such a wonderful, wonderful thing to have that experience to be able to baptize somebody for Christ. But also, more importantly, to tell them about Jesus, to lead them in a walk with Christ. What a joy that is. But there's greater joy. The greater joy is heaven. The greater joy is that the whole life should be put in perspective, that this life is not my home. This life is not what it's all about. It's about getting an eternal place called heaven, that I get to live forever and ever and evermore. So as we close this time today, and as I give you time here a little bit to go and peruse the different ministries, don't leave this church past 12. I mean, did I say that right? Don't leave this church before 12, right? It's going to be a long day. Whew. Now, don't leave the church before 12. Because I want you to take a chance to just fellowship a little bit, check out some ministries, grab a cookie. But here's the thing that I want to get across to you. As we close with this, as we look back to the title of this message, Jesus saying, go, I'm sending you. He's not going to send angels. He's not going to send somebody better. He wants to send every one of us. And we as Christians are called to action. We're called to do something. We're not called to close the doors on our house and just put our face in our Bibles and that's all we do. We're called to act. We're called to go. We're called to do something with our faith. And he says, I'm sending you. He's calling every one of us to go out there and reach the world for Christ. To tell them the good news about what he's done. Prepare people's hearts. Isn't that great? I don't have to convince people. I don't have to force people. I just have to open people's hearts. I have to present it so that they have it, so they can take it in. They'll make their own choice. But I'm called to be a witness. I'm called to be light. And I'm called to go. And you're called to go. So what area of your life is God moving in? What does God want you to be about? What is God calling you to? And do that faithfully. Do that faithfully. And you'll see results. I go back to that man. I'd love to meet him. I love that. It just stirs my heart. We probably won't hear much about him in the news. No one will probably talk about him other than me, maybe here today. Imagine what he's going to be like when he's in heaven. And God says, thank you, Vernon. Thank you for having the heart to pray to send a harvester like Billy Graham out to do my will, to speak my truth, to share this gospel. Let us pray like that. Let's have a prayer like that in our own lives. Lord, I just pray, Lord. Lord, you called many people here to do great things for you. And I pray you just help us to stir our hearts, that we'd call upon your name and ask for your wisdom and your grace and your love and your strength. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would send out many people out of this area, out of this church, to go and share your gospel, your good news with others around, that people may know and hear about Jesus and the saving knowledge that you bring. Lord, we thank you for what you've done and how you loved us and how you cared for us. And Lord, that you are willing to come and serve us by dying upon a cross for our sins. Lord, the whole world needs to hear about this good news. And we pray today that we will be about your business, that we'll take it serious enough that's important to us and we value it, that we'll trust you, that we'll put our faith in you, in your hands, willing to sacrifice, willing to give, so that we can make a difference for you. Lord, thank you for calling us out. Thank you for choosing us to be your messengers. That you don't choose angels, but you've chosen imperfect people because you want to help people to see that they can attain it too. But this message is for everyone. I thank you for people like Vernon Davis or Patterson that prayed that kind of prayer. And that you sent somebody like Billy Graham to minister to the whole world. Help us to minister to our world. Help us to share this gospel, because there is a lost and dying generation out there that don't know you. Thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy. And thank you for all that you do. In your wonderful name I pray, Jesus. Amen.